everyone can hear me well enough, huh? Am I too loud? Okay. The title of this morning's lesson is not Am I Too Loud? Or Can You Hear Me? But Christ's Lordship. Christ's Lordship. And there are a couple of things that I just really want to take some time to talk about here. We all, every one of us in here, use this word Lord. And we know what it means. But I'd just like to expand on that just for a few moments here. The word Lord means master. The word Lord means I accept your mastership of me. And so in order for there to be a master, there definitely has to be, there has to be servants. And in so doing, we're going to look this morning at Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount. And he addresses this whole idea of lordship. And so, if we can begin reading here in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll begin reading here in verse 12. And if we can read this together. In everything, and we're reading from the NAB version. In everything, therefore, treat people you want to them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gates. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, kingdom of heaven, but he is the Lord, my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, prophesy in your name, cast out demons, in your name perform miracles. And then I will declare to them, never you, depart from me. Therefore, anyone who hears the word of God and acts on them, the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the flood came, and the wind blew and slammed against the house. Yet it did not fall. It did not rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will like the foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When you finished the words,
one who had authority. And so this morning, I want to focus on the verse 22, beginning there. On that day, many will say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus identifies two type of individuals or two types of hearers that will say this. The one who only hears, and then the one who hears and practices. The audience was probably just like, well, maybe a multitude, but comprised of individuals not too dissimilar to ourselves. Some who believed in Jesus, some who were just curious about Jesus, some who were there to see what Jesus could do for them. And then there were some who truly wanted to be transformed into his likeness by the teachings that he would share with them that day. I want to take a look at the one that Jesus, start off with the one that Jesus says, they were the foolish hearers. The foolish hearer may only consume a portion of the message. And I want us to stop and think just for a second. I think it's important that Jesus Christ indicated this, identified this group of hearers as being foolish. We can get comfortable in our relationship with God. I go to church. I give my tithe. I pray. I read my Bible. I do good deeds. I can get really comfortable in my state of being as a Christian. And this is the Christian that I term as a consumer. Now, what is a consumer? All of us that live in America, we are well aware of being a consumer. That's just our economy. We see it every day on the TV and the newspapers. You name it, it's all about you need one of these. Look what you can do with one of these. Look what you can be with one of these. Look what you can influence in being this. And we can take on that kind of thinking. We can even take that kind of thinking on with Christ. And so, with that in mind, I have to be on my guard. Am I just consuming Christianity? Am I just taking in? I come to service And the reason I'm here is I want to see who is going to give to me. What can I get from it today? Not necessarily is who can I encourage and who can I... But here are some characteristics of a consumer. That consumer may be living in secrecy. I don't tell people that I am a consumer of sweets. I love sweets. Cookies, candy, you name it. I love it. But I don't expose that. I've got that hidden away in my own little secret cupboard. And that's what a consumer is. His own secret desires, wants, and wishes propels them to satisfy whatever that desire is. And the Christian, if you will, consumer Christianity, that individual lives in secrecy, does not necessarily enjoy being a part of the fellowship, does not necessarily enjoy being a part of a small group, does not necessarily enjoy that one-to-one relationship of here's how I'm doing in my walk with God. How can you help me with this? Here are some things that I am really dealing with on a day-to-day basis, on a thought-to-thought basis. That consumer Christian doesn't want to expose that. Doesn't want anyone else to know that that is what is actually going on. In John, 1 John 1:5 through 10, it says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. Light, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us." Jesus is not Lord. I am. Because it's more important that I keep whatever it is secret than it is to expose it, get rid of it. And that one usually follows the second characteristic. There's a lack of repentance. What I find in self is when I don't accept, yes, this is who I am, and this is ungodly. I can go on trying to rationalize it. Therefore, I'm going to try to cover it up. And therefore, not dealing with it. There's a lack of repentance about it. And let's see what God has to say about that. 2 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. For the godly grief, if I see things in my life that are not godly, not Christ-like, do I embrace that? Do I keep silent about it? Or does that produce a grief, a sorrow, a longing to get rid of it? And if I am really longing to get rid of it, I've got to expose it. I've got to say, do you see this in my life? This is what I think I see. And this is ugly. I don't know about you. Have you ever had some food caught in your teeth? You just had a great meal. And you are just savoring that meal. And then you have to go to the restroom and you look in the mirror and there's food particles all in your teeth. Oh no, that's ugly. And I've been out there talking and I thought I looked one way and here, boy, that I need to do something about this. That's what sin is. And if Jesus isn't Lord, we go on walking back out there with all of that stuff in our mouth. And I'm not talking about physical food, okay? What I'm saying is we see stuff in our lives. We see sin in our lives. And rather than wanting to get rid of it, we see how we can rationalize, how we can justify, how we may even put some gum or something into the mouth to make it more palatable to others, and it still is ugly. There's a lack of actual wanting, longing to change. And then, following on the heels of others, of this, what I find is when someone points that out to me, Al, did you look at yourself in the mirror in there? You got all the stuff in your mouth here. Man, that doesn't look good. And when they point it out to me, there is disdain, not for the stuff that's in my mouth, but for them pointing it out. That's that consumer Christian. I don't need you in my life. I don't need you pointing stuff out to me. How could you dare say that to me? I am offended that you would do that. And did you know, there were some individuals Jesus pointed out, some of his disciples over in John 1. Over in John. that were offended when he pointed certain things out to them. And they said, he was actually telling them that he's the Son of God and that you will need to eat my flesh and drink my blood in order to be a part of me. And they were offended. They found Jesus offensive. And they walked away. And Jesus said to the others, do I offend you? That's a question that we as Christians have to ask ourselves constantly. Does being righteous, does living and making Jesus Lord offend me? Because if his teachings and his life offend me, I'm living outside of his lordship. And then there's the whole idea of the true servant or the true believer. If you take a look at verse 26 here. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. That house is definitely doomed to failure. But take a look at the one who built his house, or who builds his house on the words of God, on God's teachings, on God's lordship, on the teachings of Jesus Christ, Jesus and God being one. He not only hears, but he puts them into practice. That person may not practice them perfectly, but they are making every effort to do so. They don't have to be a social butterfly. But we do need to love the fellowship. We do need others in our lives. We do need to have a yearning for repentance. We do need to love Jesus Christ with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, with all our strength. So that in the time of trials, we don't desert the fellowship, or we try to make life happen that is palatable for us without God. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And that takes more than just a profession that I am a Christian. It will take doing, living, being. And here is a trustworthy scripture that we can hang our hearts on. 2 Timothy 2, 8 through 13. Remember Jesus Christ. We can't get from here to him without remembering him. That just is not going to happen. And what do I need to remember about Jesus Christ? That he sacrificed his life for me. That in sacrificing his life, it was just not an ordinary life. This was God himself who came down from the heavenly realm and made himself nothing, took on my sin so that I might be a part of him and a part of his family. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. As a consumer Christian, if my Jesus Christ is not living in me, that Jesus is dead. And so am I, because I have given myself over to something else other than Christ as Lord. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. And this is Paul writing to Timothy. This is my good news, Timothy, that Jesus is alive and well in my life. Let him be well and alive in your life. And he goes on and says, Paul, I'm suffering hardship right now, even in prison as a criminal. But the words of God is not in prison. The word of God is freedom, even though I may be in chain. The word of God will and does set us free from all of the contaminations and all of the other types of idolatry and lordships in this world. And Paul goes on and says, for this reason, I endure this suffering. This isn't suffering at all, because I know that he promised a better life for me. This is only temporary. I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. Timothy, I don't do this just for my own sake, but I do it for you and all of those that have been chosen. To be a part of God's family, so that they may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and with it eternal glory. And Timothy, here is a trustworthy statement. Some biblical scholars think that this was a hymn. But whether it's a hymn or not, it still is a trustworthy saying. For if we die to self, for if we die with him, we will also live in him. Do I believe that? That's what I have to ask myself. If I believe that, then I will act upon that. It just doesn't do me any good to believe it and do nothing with it. It doesn't do me any good to believe it and profess it. Talk about it and not live it. Then that makes me a consumer. He goes on and he says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that we will reign with him eternally? If we remain faithful to him and live a life that is pleasing and acceptable to him, that makes him Lord. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Remember the scripture, going back to the one originally, but not everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them, but everyone who hears these words, verse 26, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man. And that foolish man will say, Lord, didn't I attend church? Didn't I give my tithe? Didn't I give to the poor? Didn't I? And he says, and I don't want to hear these awful words. I never knew you. But Lord, look closely. Check out your... I'm sure you'll find my name there. No, I have no record of that. I never knew you. You did not make me Lord. If we are faithless, and here's the part that I love, in order to live a life that exhibits Jesus Christ as Lord, it takes faith. It takes faith. Regardless of what I'm going through. But whether we are faithful or not does not eliminate Jesus Christ and God's faithfulness. If he said it, he is true. He is faithful. My being faithless will not eliminate his faithfulness. And so, brothers and sisters, this morning, I leave you with this. Let us ask ourselves, and we will hear this afternoon after service, there's going to be a baptism and someone is going to say, Daniel Sanchez is going to say, Jesus is Lord. We all made that same statement. You remember? I was so excited about that. Let's remember that he still is Lord of our lives. Let's live a life that says, Jesus is Lord.